But the only real words that I got this week was this: pursue the presence. God wants to restore the connection, but it's his presence that actually is the electricity that flows. It's the life blood. We have to be presence driven Christians. I was reminded this week of a prayer meeting where I saw what I can only say was Jesus. And he walked up to me and then walked into me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, if you read through Deuteronomy, you will find that the people of Israel were invited to go up on Mount Sinai. But they chose not to and sent Moses to be the representative. What an opportunity missed. It could have been a whole nation that people could not have looked at because the presence of God was so strong everywhere they went. I think I've mentioned once before that veil that Moses had to wear was so intense because they couldn't look upon him because he'd been in the presence of God. And because of the cross, that veil has been ripped off. And we have him, the King of Glory, inside of us. So easily we forget. The story of Deuteronomy is the story of Moses is one where there was supernatural provision every single day. Think about it. You never had to go to the supermarket because it was there supplied at your door that morning. No, it'd be good, wouldn't it? It'd save me a heck of a lot of money too. But they lived a supernatural lifestyle. They only moved camp when the presence moved. Cloud by day, fire by night. And yet Moses still got it wrong. The people still grumbled. And Moses didn't get to fulfill the promise. In fact, it was a whole generation that missed. It's a pretty solemn warning, isn't it? I don't want to miss what God's got. Does it mean it's going to be easy? Well, if you think coming to Christ is going to be a party forever, it will be eventually. But as we said a couple of weeks ago, by signing up to be full on, sold out for the kingdom of God, means we've got to be battle ready. The reason I'm up here with no shoes today is because God said to me, remove your shoes, this is holy ground. I'm doing something deep and I'm inviting you into something, and that was before Trev came and gave that word, today's a do-over day. The first passage of scripture I had was here, it was from Joshua chapter 3. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, in other words, the presence of God. Move out of your positions and follow him. Follow them, sorry. Purify yourselves. for tomorrow. The Lord will do great wonders among you. I felt like God highlighted that today. Purify ourselves. Get rid of all the things that build offense. Sounds very close to the word offense. Between you and him. Between me and Iris. And Phil, and every other person, so that we can have pure hearts before him. I don't know about you, but that's really hard. Because there's some people in my life that have hurt me deeply, and I'd like to hang on to this. I'd like to present it to God and go, "Can you get them?" Just being honest, there is some things that we hold on to that are stopping us from being able to experience the fullness that God wants to bring into our lives because we're still holding on to offense. Sometimes it's the things that I've done myself because I can't forgive myself for the things I've done. You know, one of the biggest burdens I carry is that the things that I have done that have hurt the ones I love the most. And I carry them. I sat in a counseling session on Wednesday night, expecting to get through it. Okay. God had other ideas. All of a sudden, this depth of pain and grief came from somewhere that I didn't even know that it was there. And it was painful. I don't like crying. I don't like letting other people see me crying. I certainly don't like my wife sitting beside me as I'm uncontrollably crying. Because I'm meant to be the strong one. And I realized I've been carrying around stuff that has actually been stopping me from being able to connect with my wife's heart, but it's also been stopping me from connecting with God's heart. Jeremiah 33 says, "Ask me and I will tell you remarkable secrets that you do not know about things to come." I don't know what you carry. For some of you, it may not be a relational thing. It may be that you're just carrying some, whether it be an illness, whether it be just some heartbreak that has happened. I don't know. Everyone's got a story, no matter who you are. But God's instruction to the people of Israel was, bring it all to me. Excuse me as I walk around, but it's basically bring it all of this over here to the cross. Leave it here. Don't pick it back up. And let me now in to walk this journey out so you can actually learn to live freely and lightly, full of my presence in everything you do. I know we're leaky people. We'll do it and then something else will happen. So hence repentance is really important. The power of repentance, that power of going, I've done the wrong thing and I'm going to turn from that and do an 180 degree and go a different direction. the importance of doing communion week in, week out, because we need to be reminded that we actually have to keep our hearts pure before Him and each other. And the symbols of communion are one that says, I've done it. I've paid it all for you. What an incredible thing. And you go back to the next verse that I, after that, and it's, as you read through the different versions, it basically says, don't move until you see the ark. I've added a few words. Don't move until you see, feel, and experience my presence. Be expectant of it. Drop everything to pursue it. Why? Because tomorrow I'm going to bring that back today. The Lord will do great wonders among you. Do we want to be a people who want to see the wonders of God? Do we want to see people healed, set free? The captive set free? People healed, delivered? The enemy can't get a whooping? And we see and be a part of what is written in Revelation, that the latter rain will be greater than what's become. Jesus said, you will do more than I did. So if he said it and we haven't experienced it, he ain't finished yet. Time to get on board. He's inviting us. Pursue the presence. Go into the promised land. And of course, we know what happened when they went across the promised land. They had the miraculous thing. Imagine it. Hopefully, the plans that God gives me for this community don't sound something like we're going to march around seven times, play a trumpet, and the walls are going to fall down. Imagine submitting that plan to the generals of the army. They must have thought he was nuts. What do you mean? You're some leader, you are. But of course, God came through. Not long after that, Josh, full of confidence, goes off and does something before seeking God and falls on his face. Lesson learned. Because at the end of Joshua, after making sure that the land was divided up between all the tribes, and there was obviously some discontent where people had actually forgotten, ignored, doing it their own way, pursuing the gods of other nations, where he declares, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. May that be our declaration. May that be something that is in your heart, that you go, whatever it is, God, the fence again, whatever is there, purify my heart so I can experience a presence-based life. Our prayer should be, reveal to us the deep things so that I can be purified before you. Search me, O God, know my heart. May there be nothing there that blocks me from him or each other. And if you're anything like me, it's a journey, and I haven't arrived yet. but I'm a whole heap different than what I was 12 months ago, and hopefully in 12 months' time, I'm a whole heap different again. If I'm still the same person, you better get a new pastor. I'm going to invite the worship team up. Last week in communion, was it communion? Or you just did your Bible? No, you did your Bible reading and you asked us to say, your steadfast love endures forever. I got out on the car on the day that I knew, well, I was pretty sure that we'd be making a decision to put down our beloved pet. His name was Moses. Funny how the natural sometimes mirrors the spiritual. And this psalm dropped in my heart. My heart, O God, is steadfast. My heart is steadfast, he declares it. I will sing and make music, awake my soul, awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. For great is your love, reaching to the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. It's time to take the promised land. How do we do it? Worship and prayer. Coming together, dealing with our stuff, united in purpose, allowing the Holy Spirit to transform us from the inside out. So together we see the kingdom of God. You're all invited. Don't send me there. Come with me. So you too can be a walking, radiant carrier of the presence of God. I want to invite you this morning, as we finish our service, to come to the front to worship together as a family. If you don't feel comfortable with that, no judgment, it's okay. But there is something about joining together. And this place at the front is no more special other than it gives us a bit of room. And if we need more room, we can push some seats back so that we can worship together. We are a family. We're not meant to be separated. We're not meant to be disjointed. We're not meant to that. We're meant to do these things together. So as we stand now in worship, and if you need to sit down, no problems. You need to lay down. That's fine. Just make sure if someone's laying down next to you, you don't step on them. If you need prayer and need to pray for someone through worship, or you just feel led just to do that, then do it. If you just need a hug, find someone to give you a hug. But let's worship together. Let's not make it some religious activity that we've got to have it all sorted and all nice and lined up. Let's be ready to pursue Him. And my encouragement from God is, we're not going to move forward until we experience the presence of God. And I don't know what that means for this week, next week, or the week after. I have no idea. But if it's good enough for the people of Israel to walk into the promised land and wait till the presence goes forward, and that was God stuck in a box, well, He's out of the box now. He's in us. He's in you. So let's come together as Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm.